Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast, and thanks for joining us for this episode. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy this content, please don't hesitate to leave us a five-star review and share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to extend an invitation to you and your family to join us for worship this week at Grace Baptist Church. We'd also love to connect with you online at graceketering.org. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the episode.
Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 16 says this, "From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part," who's every part? We are, "maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." We talk about increasing our bodies. So you talk about adding to our physical bodies. We say, no, we don't want that. We want to reduce, right? That's reality. But in talking about the church family, it's a good thing when the body is being increased, when it's being encouraged and strengthened and edified, and that we do want. Father, would you guide us tonight, encourage our hearts, strengthen us, strengthen your church, that we belong to you. We admit that. And we want you to strengthen us. We want to be everything you want us to be. And so help us, we pray. Give us minds to understand your truth. I pray that your Holy Spirit would energize our hearts, would strengthen us, reveal what we need and how we can apply it in this week. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's be seated. So we've been on a little bit of a journey, and that journey has been developing or discovering our gifts, learning about those from the book of Romans, and we talked through those seven different gifts that were given to us by God, or given to each one of us. We have a gift, sometimes multiple, but we are given a gift whereby to function within the body, to use to serve the Lord within the body, and we want to be doing that. So what is your gift? Not do I have a gift? What is my gift? So in the context here, Paul is talking to the Ephesian believers about the fact you have gifts. It's important that you discover them, but also that they be developed. That was the subject of last Sunday night's time together, that they be developed together, that we develop them inside the context of the church. The best way to develop your gift is to jump in and serve, to serve for the glory of God, and you'll find that not only will it help you to understand your gifting better, but it'll help you sharpen your gifting. Practice makes perfect. We also learned that last week we are to develop our gifts, verse number 13, until Jesus Christ comes. There's never to be a point where we take our gift and we set it over on the shelf. We're always to be developing our gift, strengthening our gift inside the context of the local church, the gatherings of the local church. And the purpose of that strengthening, that developing, is that we would be stable in both doctrine and practice, verse number 14. That we'd be strong, that we would not be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. There's many people who will be tossed about. They have gifts, they're believers, but they'll be tossed about because they're not rooted in to the life and the ministry of a local church. The life and ministry functioning within the body of an assembly of believers that are saved and baptized, right, is essential to your spiritual growth. It's essential to your stability, both in doctrine and in practice. Those that are without that are likely to be tossed to and fro. Well, what does this YouTube person say? What does this book say? Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. There's no stability outside. And so we want to be doing that. We want to be developing within the context of the local church for stability and doctrine and practice. And the way that we are developed is by the declaration of truth in love, verse number 15. So we're developed, we're increased, we're strengthened as believers as we receive the truth in a spirit of love. And as we give the truth in a spirit of love, may grow up into him in all things. That leads us to verse number 16, and really the idea of deploying your gift. What does God want us to do? You've heard the old English idiom that says a well-oiled machine. How many of you are familiar with that? They're operating like a well-oiled machine. I remember taking a trip up to Michigan, and we had our Honda Odyssey, and we got up there, and a check engine light came on. So I went to, I believe it was an O'Reilly's, and had them check it, and they said something about a sensor, and I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. So I called up the Honda dealership, and I said, hey, what does this mean? They go, that is actually code for you're very, 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 very low on oil. Like extremely low on oil. I'm like, I just had it in your shop. What's going on here? Because just before I took this trip, I had it in your shop. And so, long story short, they replaced part of the engine because evidently something happened. I never figured out the full story, but my van was not operating very well because it didn't have oil in it. A well-oiled machine, right? A well-oiled machine is running smoothly. It isn't ticking. It's just running along smoothly. Well, the reality is when we're all functioning as a body and within the body of Christ with our gifts, we will be that well-oiled machine. The reality also is that you and I are sinners saved by grace. We're saved sinners, right? And we struggle sometimes to be a well-oiled machine, but we should always strive by the grace of God and with the help of the Holy Spirit, who is that oil, right? With the help of the Holy Spirit to be a well-oiled machine. I want us to see tonight what happens when we deploy our gifts within the body. For some of you, this is going to be a reminder. And again, that's fine. That's important. What happens when you and I deploy our gifts within the body? What happens to the body? What will happen to Grace Baptist Church if each one of you here tonight say, I, by God's grace, this week, throughout this week, over the course of this year, I'm going to deploy my gift. Every time I come to the services, every time I come to the gatherings, every time I walk out of this place, I'm going to be thinking, how can I use my gift to encourage and strengthen Grace Baptist Church? It's not going to just be, Pastor, what is the church doing as kind of an entity or an organization? No, I'm going to see myself as a part of it, a part of the body, and I'm going to be a part of deploying and using my gifting to encourage the body. What happens when we have that mindset? Notice, first of all, there's going to be synergy. There's going to be synergy. Synergy is a great word that simply means cooperative interaction. Cooperative interaction. Notice in verse number 16, from whom Christ, the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted. Do you realize that God has designed it? Jesus Christ has pulled us all together in his name by virtue of his death, burial, and resurrection. He's pulled us all together, fitly joined us together, and compacted us. We've talked about this, but again, this is the idea that we're connected together. What connects each and every one of us here tonight is Jesus Christ. That is our common denominator. Not our preferences, not our backgrounds, not our experiences. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're in this gathering tonight together. And compacted, he says, to be unified. So it is God that is pulling us together. His desire is as we come together that you and I would have a synergy and a cooperative interaction. That's his plan. He does not desire churches to be isolated groups and cliques. In fact, I should just say, cliques will damage a church very, very bad. When one group of members, it kind of, elbows out another group of members, that is a bad deal. It could be two people. It could be 14 people. But the reality is, God has designed for us to be fitly joined and compacted, to be unified. Not just speaking language of unification, but actually unifying the members. And listen, friends, this is why it's so important that we interact with each other. Sit down tonight, down in the gathering, sit down with somebody you've not hung out with in a little bit. It's always easy to hang out with people that you're comfortable with. Sit down with somebody that maybe you haven't gotten to know. Allow the Lord to pull you together. There is synergy, there's cooperative interaction when we are functioning within the body. That is Christ's plan. That's what he desires from us. It's amazing we see this illustrated in different areas of life. I think about pit crews. And I'm going to show you a little video just to help get this in mind. But you talk about cooperative interaction. You talk about being timed, everything being planned out. Now, we realize that ministry isn't always like that, right? Ministry is sometimes, it's just what is right in front of you. Deal with it right in front of you. You have to be flexible. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. Right? And we need a whole lot of that in ministry, right? But a pit crew They're working together. They're all going for the same thing. And about the time that you and I get inside of a car and buckle our seatbelts and turn the key, they've already changed all four tires, checked on a bunch of things around the car, made some adjustments, and sent the person on their way. Now watch this, all right? I don't endorse everything about the group, but I'm saying I want you to watch for the pit crew, all right? Watch. It's in slow-mo to start, and then we'll see them actually in actual time. They're all getting into place. Look at that. Tools in hand. Everyone has a part. And it's up, tires are going off. Watch that. It's gonna go. Now, how fast was that? Crazy. You talk about a well-oiled machine. You talk about synergy, cooperative interaction. Just illustrated for you right there. And there is a sense that God has made us as a body. He's fitly joined us together. He's compacted. He's unified us by sake of the Holy Spirit. That's Philippians 1 and verse number 27. As we're of the same spirit, we can be of the same mind, and we can be of the same action. Right? We can be athletes together. And there's a synergy that comes, and we can strive together for the faith of the gospel. And that is what God wants us to be. Now, it's something we have to constantly strive for because Satan wants everything to disrupt that synergy. He will use people. He will use comments. He will use thought processes in our mind and our hearts. The reality is we must stay focused on him, what he has placed us here for. He has fitly joined us together and compacted us together. Colossians 2 and 19, it says, and not holding the head, Jesus, from which all the body, body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered and knit together. There's the idea. Knit together increases with the increase of God. So he's knitted us together and expects that we're increasing together as he blesses us. So what encourages synergy inside of a church congregation like ours, inside of a gathering, an assembly? Number one, I want us to think about this. It's having a Christ-centered attitude, a Christ-centered attitude. The same attitude that John the Baptist had. He must increase, I must decrease. It's never a focus on me. In fact, you and I cannot be at the center. You and I cannot be at the center. Let me put it this way. Christ and I cannot be at the center at the same time, one or the other. The same for you as well. You and Christ can't be at the center. So either he has the center or you have it, but it can't be both. And you and I need to be like John. I must decrease, he must increase. I will submit to the will of the head. I'm going to submit to the will of the head of the church. It's not just the pastor that needs to submit to the head. It is you as well that needs to submit to the head. A Christ-centered attitude, but also a Christ-like attitude. What was that? Philippians chapter 2. What does it tell us? What was the attitude of Christ? What was the mind of Christ? It is to serve. A servant's attitude. I am a servant. He must increase, and I am a servant. Just like Paul said, Paul, the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. I'm not here to be served, but to serve. I will be like Jesus. So these things, these ideas, these attitudes help there to be synergy, encourages synergy in the church, encourages that unity, that compacting together, that fitly joined together, encourages that. If any one of the pit crew decides that they're the best part of the team and kind of wants everyone to know it, there's going to be a disruption, right? They're going to be showing off. There's going to be a disruption there. If one of them has a problem with another and they're not willing to get it squared away, there's going to be a disruption in the team. And so there's a synergy when we're all coming together and we say, I am here for the purposes of Jesus Christ. I'm going to serve with the gift that he's given me, and I want to encourage that same unified spirit among one another. Synergy speaks of unity, many parts cooperating together. And it is strengthened by each part doing their part. Notice there will also be support. Notice in verse number 16, by that which every joint supplieth. By that which every joint supplies. So this unity, this cooperative interaction happens as each part is supplying something to the mix, supplying something to the body. He says, by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. As God is working in them, as God is gifting them, as God is enabling that gifting, and they take that gift and support the body, there is a great increase. There is a great growing within the body. There is support within the body. We do not go to church. We as the church gather together. We do not go to church. We as the church gather together, and we all supply something to this assembly. You supply something to the assembly. Now, reality is you and I can withhold that supply. We cannot operate with our gifting, and it really will hinder the function in the body. But we are all to supply something to the gathering of the church. Notice he says, by that which every joint supplieth. By that which every joint supplieth. Every joint is supporting. I'm certainly grateful tonight that my joints are supporting me. Right? They're holding me up. Every joint is working together. In fact, I don't even have to really think about it. The joints they're doing what they should do. The problem when we do have to think about it, right? All right, let's get this leg to move along. You ever have a foot fall asleep, right? Everything, you're aware of that. I saw a guy, I don't remember where I was sitting, but I saw a guy the other day. He stood up and he needed to walk, and it was evident that his foot had fallen asleep. Boy, he's dragging his leg around and trying to get that thing to wake up, you know. It's evident when one of the joints isn't doing what it ought to do. God says, hey, there's support when every joint, by the supply of every joint. And that's so important that we realize. What do you supply in this assembly? What are you supplying? What has God gifted you to supply? It was some time ago, I had pulled into a grocery store parking lot, and it was later at night, and I had pulled into a parking spot that I didn't realize was marked handicap. And so I got out, and you know how it is. Well, I don't want the $250 fine, so I'm going to move the car, all right? And so I get back in, and the car wouldn't start. And so I'm thinking, well, this is really crazy. It got me here, and it's just leaving me here in the parking lot. Great story, right, for an officer? Great story. It just won't start. So anyway, I got back in, and it wasn't doing anything. So I decided to look under the hood, and what was interesting is I found out that on one of the terminals of the battery, had come loose. One of the screws was loose, and by tightening it, and as I remember, I didn't really have a tool that was proper for the job. I was having to engineer something on the spot, but nonetheless got it tight enough to start. But I'm reminded that just one little screw can stop a whole automobile, can hinder its progress, can slow it down, cause you to miss appointments, or cause you not to get somewhere you needed to be. And the reality is that one gifting that is not functioning within the body can hinder the body. According to what Jesus is saying, every joint needs to be supplying. Every joint needs to be supporting the functioning of the body. It all needs to be working together in that way, according to the effectual working, the operation, the process of functioning. It needs to be working together. Every joint needs to be a part of the process. Every believer has something to contribute and needs to contribute it. And so the world says, no, you're not a professional. You aren't the best at it. Then bow out, even as a moment ago. as we just say, hey, we may not be professional singers, but you know, if God's given you a voice and the ability to sing a little bit, sing. You know, the world says only the best of the best should get up in front. No, listen, let's make a joyful noise. I mean, I suppose there's some people that might not be able to carry a tune, and they would say, you know, I honestly can't sing, and okay. But you know, if God's given you a voice, sing. If he's given you a heart and a love for music, sing. You know what I'm saying? Use it. Supply that into the body and contribute in that way. No believers without purpose. And we must believe that. You must believe that. Well, the pastor, the deacon, Sunday school teachers, they all have purpose, but not me. No, you have purpose. You need to discover it, you need to develop it, and you need to deploy it so that the body is supported together. There's synergy and there's support. In a sports game, you have players, teammates, and you have spectators, right? If a spectator doesn't show up to the game goes on. You notice down at Dayton Dragons, they say that they've been sold out. Like, how many seasons? Many, many, right? You ever been there and realized that some of the people that bought tickets didn't show up? And the game goes on. But quite differently, if one of the players doesn't show up, the game is either stopped or hindered, slowed down, or they don't achieve their goals. There's a big difference between spectators and players and teammates. Big difference. And the reality is that too many times as believers, we can treat church like it's a spectator thing. It's something I get to show up to, and if I don't show up, it's not going to make any difference. No, I want to say this to anyone attached to your church, you can repeat this, you can put me on record. People, members that do not show up to the assemblies of the church do indeed affect the church. We come out of COVID and we got really used to the whole live stream. You know what live stream is for? From my heart to everyone, it's for folks finding our church and for folks that are sick. It is not for healthy individuals to stay home and catch it on live stream. That's what it's for. I've met people that tune into our live stream and are blessed by it from a distance, or they've been looking at our live stream because they've been interested in our church. Praise the Lord. Get messages from folks that say, you know what, I'm homesick today, and thank you for the message today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But if you're healthy and able-bodied, you need to be at the in-person assembly. It's an assembly. It's a called-out assembly. Now, how does that play in? 2020 helped us to have more of a convenience mindset to it. You know what? We really can. We can catch everything that's going on there. We can stay in the loop, but we can catch it, and I feel good that I caught a service, but I don't have to actually get dressed and go to church and interact with people. You realize that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. Now, we had to go through what we had to go through in 2020. We had to make the decisions, but we're not there anymore. It's time for the church to be back together, and the church needs to be together. A spectator looks at it, I can watch it from home, and really, it's all about me. It's all about whether I get blessed from something on there. It's not about whether I've interacted and blessed somebody else at the gathering. You all with me? It's so true. This is one of the things, the Bible says, we are to gather together. We're to consider one another and provoke one another to love and good works. Who does the provoking? Only the pastor? No. You need to encourage your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen, it's time to be in the inside the doors of the church. We missed you at the gathering. It wasn't the same without you. We missed you. Neglect of the assemblies is a very, very hurtful thing to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't value the body and what Jesus is doing in here. It doesn't value one another. A neglecting of the assembly is an important matter. Now, one of the things in this is we look sometimes at church as a spectator event. We look, well, you know, my part there doesn't really matter. Me encouraging or praying with somebody doesn't really matter. It does. The reality is when we are neglecting the assembly, we're hindering the team. We're hindering the body. we're hurting the body. And how I encourage us, let's be a part of this. You're here on a Sunday night, praise the Lord. Let's continue to be a part on Wednesday night. Let's continue to be a part. You know, sometimes it burdens my heart to see people, I realize work schedules, but it burdens my heart to see people neglecting the assembly on Wednesday nights. We are together here meeting on Wednesday nights. There are people that need your encouragement. Let's be together every time the doors are open together in this place. I get burdened when believers treat church like a spectator event. Like my appearance there, my presence there doesn't make a difference. I just like a spectator at a sports event, I can be there or not be there, it makes no difference. No, you come in here with a purpose in your heart. I am here for a reason. I am here as a gift to the body, not like I'm here as a gift to the body, right? But I'm here as a gift to the body. And Jesus has something for me to do tonight. He has someone for me to encourage. He has someone for me to pray with. He has some way for my gift to function. So Christ designed for every believer to support the operation of his church, to support the functioning of his church. Stunning growth comes when one does not allow his or other gifts to function. Stunning growth comes when one does not allow his or other gifts to function. So are you allowing your gift to function? By love, the Bible tells us to serve one another in sacrificial service to each other. Love, by agape love, serve one another. So when we are deploying our gifts, taking what God has given to us to serve Him within the context of the local church, there will be synergy, there will be a cooperative interaction, there will be support. Because we're taking our part, we're being a team player, we're coming to the body and we're saying, hey, I'm here, I'm showing up, I'm part of the team, I'm here together, and I am here to function as Christ has enabled me to function. There will be support by our contribution, by our functioning, but there will also be success. Notice in the last part of 16, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Maketh increase. I like the sound of that. Maketh increase. It's to grow. It's something the body does for itself as it functions together. It kind of feeds off of each other. There's a success here. As synergy by the support of every member, there is success. As everyone's cooperating together, there's support and there is success. There's growth. Growth in Christ's likeness, friends. You and I help each other to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. There's real growth. And listen, let me just say this, that the heart of Jesus Christ is to reach more lost people. So when we're functioning together, one of the evidences of growth is a greater, larger burden for the needs of the lost around us, for the needs of the lost around the world. There's a greater burden to walk in holiness. All these things are part of growth, not just numbers in a seed. Is much more than that. It's Christ's likeness, having Christ's heart. And you know what? As we have those things, God will grow His church. He'll give the increase. One author said, growth is stimulated by the body itself. As the members feed on the Bible, pray, worship, and witness for Christ. So true. So true. Each individual member contributes to this unified growth as he allows his particular gifts to function. Isn't it amazing? God has given us everything we need by which to grow, by which to make increase within the body. He's given us everything that we need. And so he says, there's increase in the body unto the edifying of itself in love, unto the strengthening, unto the building up of itself in love. Jesus said this, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. How is he going to do that? He's gifted you and I. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He said, work together. Use this gift. Serve each other. By love, serve each other. And we find that, oh yeah, it's wonderful to interact together and to cooperate together. Wow, great things happen when we use our gift and serve the Lord. Great things happen. There's support. There's a sense of support. There's a sense of like, I'm being strengthened and held up. There's a supporting of one another and bearing one another's burdens. Oh, and then there is certainly success. The success of our church is dependent on our choices to take the gifts that God has given to us and to use them to bless each other, to use them to bless the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. A well-known coach was once asked this question, how much does college football contribute to the national physical fitness picture? How much does college football contribute to the national physical fitness picture? And the coach's reply was, nothing. Nothing. Well, why not? The interviewer said. He goes, well, the way I see it, you have 22 men down in the field desperately needing a rest and 40,000 people in the stands desperately needing some exercise. You know, there's a reality of the same in churches. Many times you'll find a group of people. Sometimes it's a Sunday night crowd. Sometimes it's a Wednesday night crowd. Sometimes it's just that. A smaller group of people that are desperately trying to carry on what they believe God has called us to do. They're following a pastor. They're saying, by God's grace, we're going to go forward. And there's a desperate need for some spectators to get off the benches and get into the field. Now, I don't know who all I'm talking to tonight or who all listen to this message in the future, but I'm calling for some spectators to get off the benches and get in the field. Deploy the gift that God has given you. If you've never thought you had a part here at Grace Baptist, you have one. If you don't see your part, come ask. Ask. Say, what is there for me to do? Where can I serve? And it might be a small thing, but once you take that spot, show up there consistently. Always be there by the grace of God, unless you're sick, right? And then keep it at home for a little bit and then come back, right? Get well and come back. But the reality is be on the field. Be on the field. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. What's God saying? I've given you a gift. And by the Holy Spirit's enablement, if you will get out there and you'll serve, it'll be manifest to all. There's profiting. There's blessing. There's building up. There's encouragement. There's strengthening to the whole body. God has intended it to be that way. You've been sitting in the stands. You are needed on the field. You're needed in this church. You're needed. Every single person is needed. I hesitate to call out, but you know, I was blessed this morning. This isn't other than the ministry of encouragement. It was a blessing to me this morning. And so this morning I was sitting in the teen classroom. And in walks Miss Anna. She's done this 2 weeks in a row. And she in walks with a cup of coffee and says, here, Pastor, this is for you. Last week she had creamer in it. This week it was black. Because she knows I like black coffee. You know what? It's a small token. You know, this church would not be the same without Anna. Right? I hope I'm not embarrassing you too much. But I just want to illustrate something a little bit there. It doesn't matter if it's carrying a cup of coffee, opening a door, handing a bulletin, stuffing the bulletins, cleaning up a mess, taking out the trash, or sitting down on a bench and praying with somebody, taking John and Romans to doors, stuffing the John and Romans, being a part of adventure camp. It doesn't matter. The reality is each one of you and I have a gift. Use it. Use it for the glory of God. And just watch what God will do here. I still believe that the greatest days of Grace Baptist Church are yet ahead of us. And I believe God wants to do something. And we have to, in these hours, we have to pull together. We have to remember we are in a spiritual battle. Satan does not want the body of Christ to grow here in Kettering. He does not want us to be healthy, does he? He is actively opposing. But Jesus said, I've given you a gift. You function with it. And Jesus was the one who says, when you come together in that synergy, that cooperative involvement or that cooperative interaction, there's going to be support and there will be success. There will be an increase of the body of Christ. So if we do our part, we can trust him to do his part. So even as we go forward and as we realize all around us there's choppy waters, the reality is his promises are still the same. And whether someday down the road there's persecution, we don't have building and all that, do you know what? This passage of Scripture is still the same. There's still an increase to the body of Christ as we function with our gifts. There's still an increase. And we must believe it. We must continue to pursue after it. And love this thing that he's given to us called church, the assembly of the body of Christ. And we're grateful to be together. Why don't we just pause and pray tonight and ask God to help us in this way? And I want to encourage you, as you bow your heads tonight, I want to encourage you, perhaps you don't have a place yet of service. You're not actively using your gift. And I want to encourage you, let's make this the night that you say, by God's grace, I'm going to find a part, a place in which to serve in this body. I'm going to find a part. I'm not going to be just a spectator. I'm going to get down on the field. I'm not talking to folks that are already on the field, and you immediately hear me say, well, what more can I do? No, I'm talking to folks who don't have a part. What can you do? What can you do actively in the church so that you're not on the bench, but you're in the field? God knows your situation. God knows where you are. He knows the limitations. He's allowed those in your life. Ask the Lord, even in this quiet moment, ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? How do you want me to deploy my gift so that there's synergy, support, and success?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Grace Baptist or how to have eternal life, visit gracekettering.org. And remember, you are always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.